Welcome to Zion Teacher Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey. Dr. Bailey is an internationally known Bible teacher and prolific author of over 35 books, which have been translated into more than 15 languages. In his 50-year ministry, he has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering in churches, Bible schools, pastors' conferences, leadership seminars, television, and radio. Dr. Bailey is currently the president of Zion Fellowship International and senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Waverly, New York, on top of Glory Hill. He is also president of Zion Ministerial Institute and Zion University, which have over 30 affiliate Bible schools around the world. In today's edition of Zion Teacher Series, we will examine the book of Isaiah from Dr. Bailey's commentary on the subject, one of the most quoted books in the Old Testament, which is filled with dramatic prophecies in which God reveals His heart towards His chosen people. In addition, we will discover how a book written over 700 years before Christ gives vivid details of His birth, death, and resurrection. So many of the prophecies contained in this book have already come to pass, and even some have yet to be fulfilled. So join with me now as we study this beautiful book, the prophet Isaiah.
Welcome again to our study on the book of Isaiah. Such a remarkable book. A book that foretells the future, written something like the 8th century BC. And in this book, as we've said before, we not only have the life of Christ predicted, prophesied, but also many of the actual historical details that flowed after Isaiah had finished his ministry. And in particular, we're going to study some of those today, and it is concerning the book of Isaiah, where he speaks of the nation of Babylon. Now, Babylon is mentioned in Genesis, and it is also mentioned, if I could say this prophetically, in Deuteronomy. It is mentioned again in Isaiah, it is mentioned in the Psalms, it is mentioned in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and also it is mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, why is Babylon so very important? Well, essentially, it is the city of all evil. Evil started from Babylon. It was built by Nimrod, who was called a mighty hunter or a mighty rebel against the Lord. And from Nimrod, we find that all kinds of witchcraft and spiritism emanated. It was called Babel, a city of confusion. And some of you might remember from your studies of Scripture, you know, in Genesis chapter 11, that God came down upon earth to regard the Tower of Babel. And this tower was built by the citizens of Babylon, or Babel, if you like to call it that way. And it was in rebellion against God. They wanted to fight against God. And so God came down and He confused their languages. And it is from that time onwards that there's been diversity of languages throughout the human race. Now, Babel is a type of rebellion. It is from that that all, if I could say this, false religions find their origins. And so, looking at the book of Isaiah, we are confronted now with God speaking concerning Babylon. And we are in chapter 13. And in chapter 13, we find that the prophet starts off this chapter with the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see. In other words, Isaiah had a vision of what Babylon was going to be like, what it was going to do. And the remarkable thing that when Isaiah was prophesying, Babylon was just a small colony of the Assyrian Empire. And no one could have imagined when Isaiah was prophesying that this small colony which was founded again by the Assyrians because it had lapsed over the centuries, the millennia, from its inception in the book of Genesis. No one could have imagined that Babylon would be a mighty force in the world for evil. Well, Isaiah prophesies. He prophesies concerning Babylon that it would be a mighty city, and not only a mighty city, a mighty empire that would afflict all the known world at that time. Now, I want to pause here to consider a question that obviously must be coming up in your mind. Why is Babylon so important? And, well, yes, Babylon historically was a great city, a great empire. But what is the significance today concerning Babylon? Well, Babylon is in the nation of Iraq. Certainly it's not its capital. But do you know, during the time of Saddam Hussein, he had a strong desire to rebuild Babylon. Babylon actually is a small thriving city at the moment. But Babylon has yet a future that is going to affect the known world in our days. Because Babylon is going to be the seat of the Antichrist when he reigns over the earth in the very last days of the dispensation of the church age. And how do we know that? Well, in the book of Revelation, it speaks extensively concerning Babylon, but also the Antichrist. You know, in Revelation chapter 13, there is a caricature of the Antichrist. He's a leopard. Well, a leopard, spiritually speaking, means a Greek. And then he has paws of a bear, which speak of Iran, meaning that he will govern over Iran. And also, he speaks like a lion, and the lion is a symbol of Babylon. And so we can say a Greek who reigned over Persia and had his capital city in Babylon shall arise again, and he will be the Antichrist. The false prophet, of course, is Muhammad. But now I want to look in detail concerning the prophecies of Isaiah relative to Babylon, because much is spoken concerning this city. But I want you to see a very important truth. In Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 3, God says, I have commanded my sanctified ones, speaking of Babylon. Now, this might be an enigma to some, but you see, sanctification does not mean holiness. It simply means people that are set apart for the purpose of God. And in chapter 13 of the book of Isaiah, God is making it very clear that he is going to raise up this small colony, make it a mighty empire, and bring it against Jerusalem because of all the iniquities that are committed by God's people during this time in the history of the world. And so some things we have to understand, and it's very important to realize this, that God is with evil and he is with good. God controls, if I could say this, Satan. He controls the Christians. He controls his church. And so he controls the vessels of wrath and the vessels of glory. And he uses the vessels of wrath, which in this case is the Babylonians, to purify his own people, Israel. Well, Isaiah is speaking a good 100 years before this takes place. And so again, it proves without any equivocation that the Bible is a book written by God. The spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. And so we see Isaiah speaking of the Babylonians being raised up by God to come against a hypocritical nation, the nation of Judea. Well, as we continue here, I want to bring out a few truths that not only does God speak of the rise of Babylon, but he also speaks of his judgments coming upon that nation. In other words, God is going to raise up the Babylonians to come against Jerusalem and deport the Judeans into the Babylonian Empire for something like 70 years, according to the prophecies of Jeremiah. And then afterwards, God speaks of their judgments, the judgments of the coming against Babylon, the destruction of Babylon by the Medes and the Persians. In other words, the people that are used in judgment are themselves judged. Well, that essentially is chapter 13. But now we come on to chapter 14, where there is, if I could say this, a deeper understanding of Babylon. And essentially, it speaks of the king of Babylon. And we want to look at this chapter very carefully indeed, because the king of Babylon is no other than the Antichrist. He is a type of the Antichrist, but I want you to see also that he is energized by Satan. And it's a remarkable chapter, Isaiah chapter 14, and I'd like to look at some of the scriptures, you know, that are contained in this. And it says that very clearly that the king of Babylon will be the one, and I'm speaking in verse 4, that the king of Babylon is the oppressor, and he will bring down the nations under his rule. Now, essentially, there are historical fulfillment in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, ruled over the known world from about 606 onwards, for about 30 years he reigned. And he built that marvelous edifice, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, a remarkable achievement for those days. And it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But he was, if I could say this, an absolute monarch. Daniel, who lived during his reign and spoke to him and interpreted the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had concerning the kingdoms of this world. You know, Daniel said to him, whom you wish to slay, you will slay, and whom you wish to keep alive, you will keep alive. In other words, he was speaking of Nebuchadnezzar as an absolute monarch. But Nebuchadnezzar, you see, himself is a type also of the Antichrist. And in reality, in chapter 14, it is more speaking of the latter-day king of Babylon, the Antichrist, than it is speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, the historical king of Babylon. Well, we go on, and it speaks, you know, that in verse 6, speaking of the Antichrist, the one who smote the people with wrath, with a continual stroke, in that he ruled the nations in anger to persecute, and none would stand against him. Well, that will be the Antichrist. He'll have absolute power, absolute sway when he arises, and his city, his capital city, will indeed be Babylon. And then it goes on to say this, that God will destroy him. And in verse 9 it says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath passed up from their throne all the kings of the nations.
In other words, God is saying, yes, the Antichrist is going to arise. The Antichrist will have whole sway over the earth, but his time will also come because God will judge him and God will bring him down into hell. And when he comes down into hell, we find that God, you know, declares what will happen. As the Antichrist comes into hell, all the kings of the earth who are in hell themselves will be stirred and say, is this the man that wreaked such great havoc upon the earth? Art thou become as one of us? You see, the Antichrist will claim to be, if I could say this, the Son of God. The Antichrist, meaning the one against Christ, or the one who pretends to be like Christ. And after all, this man will arise from the dead. He'll be a mighty warrior. He will be renowned throughout the whole earth. And in fact, you see, he will claim to be Christ. He will claim to be the Son of God. But his actions will be very different from Christ. Christ was a Prince of Peace. This man is a Prince of Violence. Well, we go on and we see this, that in verse 12, it now moves from the Antichrist to Satan, and his former name is given to him, Lucifer, son of the morning, speaking of the fact that he was the archangel created by God to rule over all the other angels and to lead them in worship before the throne of God. And here we see Lucifer. I want to pause for a moment here to explain that, as St. Patrick explained to the Irish using the shamrock, that the Godhead is three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, there is going to be the false Trinity, the unholy Trinity, composed of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Well, now, having spoken of the King of Babylon, who is the Antichrist, the one who shall arise again from the sea, actually, and he shall rule over the nations, and the false prophet shall do miracles in his sight, as we see in Revelation. But now he's speaking of the one that he gives tribute to, the false god, Satan. And so here we are looking at Satan, and he is called, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? You see, as Jesus was energized by the Spirit of his Father and the Holy Spirit, so the Antichrist will be energized by Satan, as will the false prophet. And therefore, it is through them that Satan will rule in these last days through the Antichrist, and yet he will be cut down. He will be bound for 1,000 years, we're told in the book of Revelation. He will be brought down. And here we see in verse 13 what happened in heaven. You know, here was this remarkable archangel. He was governing all the other angels. He outshone them in beauty, wisdom, and knowledge. But there was something in that came into his heart that turned him from Lucifer, the son of the morning, that resplendent angel, into none other than the serpent, the deceiver, the dragon, if I could say that, Satan. Well, what was it? Here we are told, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. And here are the five I wills of Satan, the five I wills that transformed Lucifer into Satan, the attitude, the desires of his heart. He said, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. In other words, Lucifer was not content with the position for which he was created. The highest in heaven, just below the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he was not satisfied. He wanted to break forth from the boundaries that God had ordained for him. And he wanted to be like God himself and receive worship. And we can see that in the temptation. You know, the three temptations of Christ. When Satan appeared unto Christ, and the last one was, you know, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world if thou wilt but worship me. Satan desires worship that alone is due to God the Father. Well, we have to consider that. What do we worship? You know, do we worship God and God alone, or do we desire and worship other things? And therefore, we've got to consider this very seriously. You know, the reason why Lucifer fell was he said, I will. The will. Our will can destroy us. We have to be like Christ and say, not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord. Well, as we move on, you see the result is that in verse 15, God issues a judgment against Lucifer and says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke on hell, and he said hell was created for Satan and his angels. They could not remain in heaven. There had to be some place where they had to go. And so hell, with all its torments, was indeed created by God for Satan and his fallen angels, those third of the angels who opted to indeed embrace the leadership of Satan rather than worship God. And here God says, well, the time will come, Satan, when you yourself will be brought down into hell, into the sides of the pit. And all those in hell, you know, all humanity, and also the fallen angels that are already in chains in hell, shall look upon thee, and shall narrowly say and consider, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? And here we see what is going to happen under the reign of the Antichrist. That the world will be as a wilderness and will be destroyed. Cities upon cities will be destroyed by the Antichrist. But the end is that the Antichrist and Satan and the false prophet will be like an abominable branch. You know, a branch is an interesting description, isn't it? You know that a branch is also one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. A branch that bears much fruit. This branch, the Antichrist, is an abomination. It brings forth all the works of the flesh, adultery, hatred, violence. And it's an abominable branch cast out. And as it says, he would go down the stones of the pit as a carcass, trodden underfoot. And then he said, this is the end. Thy people, a seed of evildoers, shall never be renowned. And all those that take the mark of Satan will become the seed of Satan and will be cast down into hell too. And so therefore he goes on, and he comes back to his original theme of Babylon, where he says, Babylon shall be cast down and Babylon shall be trodden under the foot of the nations, and the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So shall it stand. God said, I have purposed the history of the world. I have purposed, yes, to permit Babylon to arise and to test people. And people have got to make a decision. Are they going to give their allegiance to the king of Babylon, the king of all evil? Or are they going to give their allegiance to Jerusalem, this holy city, the New Jerusalem that is in heaven? And you know, as we close this session and consider something of these prophecies, we see that God says in the last days, yes, Babylon shall arise again. And the Antichrist will be the king in Babylon. And he will worship Satan. And the false prophet shall do miracles in his sight and deceive all those whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, why is Satan permitted to do this, to bring up the Antichrist, to bring up the false prophet? Why is he permitted to do this? So that all those that love not righteousness shall be condemned. You see, God is orchestrating all this. He is permitting all this for the one purpose, that men and women will decide between good and evil, between following Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Holy One, or man in the form of the Antichrist and the false prophet, the ones who are the very epitome of evil, who indeed will worship Satan, will worship the false God. And clearly, it depends on the condition of our heart. Are we those who say, I will do this, I will do this, I will have my own way? Or are we those who say, not my will, but thine be done? O God, make me a vessel of glory. Make me a vessel that worships thee. And I trust, dear ones, that you are contemplating this, and that as, you know, we live to see these things come to pass, may we realize a choice will be ours, to serve Christ or the Antichrist. May God grant that we will cry out to God, O God, fill me with thy righteousness, so that I might choose thee and to serve thee and to reject the evil. And in so doing, our home will be in the city of the New Jerusalem, whereas those who choose the Antichrist will go down into the pit, as will all the inhabitants of Babylon. May God grant that you will make the right choice and choose Christ and not the Antichrist. May God richly bless you.